This is an interview with Edward Lurie by Lori Tarlow, conducted on April 18th, 1977. Tape one, side one. Okay, Mr. Lurie. Good afternoon.
Afternoon to you.
Now, you were just telling me about where you were born. Could you repeat that for me?
You want to know something about me? Well, I give you my age as being 87 past, born January 6, 1890, and on a, you might say, off the highway, in the main highway, in the road leading to a town, a city called Vladimir, Kovna Guberna. That's the state of Kovna, as you might understand what I meant by that. Consequently, I was there until I was 12 years old.
So that was until
19... And I arrived here in 1900. Actually, 1901, because it is just close enough to 1901. And having been what you might call a greenhorn, as they call them in those days, I immediately, of course, got settled with my parents here, and
where did you come in? What port of entry did you?
Oh, port of entry was in.
Tell me a little bit about that first.
The port of entry was from Canada. And it would have been either Toronto. I don't remember myself now. I think it was Toronto or some.
Montreal.
Montreal. That's where it was. Yeah, and then. From Montreal, we had a passage here, of course, by train, so we came here from Montreal by train to Superior.
Why to Superior?
Huh?
Why did your family come to Superior?
That's what I asked them many times. they did, though, so naturally, to begin with, there was a reason for it. My mother's brothers were located here in Superior, and consequently, we saw, or the folks saw, the future didn't look so prosperous over there, and so either they sent for us or we had enough to come, but we came to Superior because of our relative, naturally.
What was their name?
And the brother-in-laws, actually were Edelstein, Morris Edelstein, Roy Edelstein, and another brother who passed away before we got here.
Those were whose brothers? Those were your mother's brothers?
Yes.
Your mother was an Edelstein?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Who was the other brother? You said there was, who had preceded Roy?
And, Roy and Morris
and, one,
and Roy and one who had was deceased when by the time we got here.
What was his name?
Ruin.
I'll tell you who it is. B.H.?
No, B.H. is an older brother that was here for many years in Hibbing and also spent the rest of his days here in Superior. But there was another one that I can't recall his first name. Isn't that terrible? Of course, I was just a youngster at that time, too. His name is, at the moment...
Was he married to one of your aunts? Is that what
you... No.
It was
no,
another brother?
No. He was married to someone in Duluth, and he lived in Duluth, as a matter of fact. So...
Okay, well, we'll skip that for now.
Yeah. Then, of course, I, being of that age, I had to go to school, so I went and joined the Carpenter School here in Superior in 1901, the semester, and actually took a long education there. I stayed there until I reached the sixth grade. And the financial situation in my family, which is quite a large family, wasn't so great. So I went and started working. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I'm sorry to this day that I didn't finish school, but at the same time, I did have to do that, so I took it for granted, didn't realize at that time how important and how necessary an education was. Although I was more or less interested in knowledge, and I did try to advance myself as much as I could, so I did go to night school for a business course and learned how to. I was always good at figures anyway, because you know how the Jewish people figure with their hands mostly. And so I never had any difficulty in comprehending bookkeeping work and so forth. So I worked at a wrapping bundles in a big day clothing store here until I was about 16.
Do you remember what clothing store it was or who owned it?
Yes, the Columbia Clothing Company in Superior was a big firm here. It was owned by the Nathan and Bilstein.
And tell me about Nathan and Bilstein a little bit.
Well, actually, they were both German Jews, mm-hmm. and very nice people. I got along very well with them.
How long had they been in Superior?
Oh, they were there for a long time. They must have been in business here for about 25 years. Mm-hmm. And so...
Were they born in America, Americans, or were they...
I think so. They, they're a very nice German Jew type, and they were very nice to me. And I was wrapping bundles and another menial work there. And then when I reached 16, I decided I could do better. So I went and got myself a job with the railroad company, and they put me into where there was figuring to do, and I had done very well. But the folks wanted me back home. This was in St. Paul. So I came back and didn't want to lose my job, so they were satisfied with me, and they gave me a job as a timekeeper close by to Superior, so I could come in home. Mm-hmm. every other day and so forth, which I did. And then after that, I, of course, had ambitions. So while I was working, I was getting about $75 a month, and I had a job then, but it wasn't really what I thought I would want to succeed in. So between my brother, older brother, and my dad and I, we rented a store for $25 a month, and my brother was in the dray transfers, like today they call them the transfer business, hauling furniture and so mm-hmm. forth, while my dad was a blacksmith by trade, so he was pretty handy at fixing up stoves and this, that, and the other, and I was supposedly the go-getter of the tree. So, we got along for many years.
Where was that store?
Lurie Furniture. We started in 428 Tower, and then we moved, and we outgrew that place, and we moved to 618 Tower. And
what was the name of the business?
The Lurie Furniture. Mm-hmm. And then we outgrew that place at 618, and finally we built a building on the corner of 6th and Tower. And we're doing fairly well. We succeeded with old circumstances beyond my control, and I won't go into a lot of details, but through no fault of mine, I got in trouble over a brother. And then I decided after that I would go into this line of business because the family didn't see eye to eye with me. Mm-hmm. So I went into the builder's supply business in 1939 with $15 capital.
Wow.
Yep. And I can truthfully say that I was 1939, I think was the last thing I said. Started with $15 capital. In the builder's supply business, preparing. Oh, no, no, this is already after I started for myself. With my son, I must say, 1939. He's just continuing there. He's,
mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
We can...
With my son, Byron, and have been doing fairly well until also my grandson grew up and he wanted to be in that business. So it made a nice three-way combination. And so far, have very well.
Well, that's good.
So,
now tell me, what I want to know a little more about is that period of time when you first got here. I want to learn a little bit more about the Jewish community. Did your family,
well,
very important question, did anyone in your family speak Swedish?
No, but we spoke Polish and Russian. Lithuanian,
mm-hmm.
and the Judith comes from the old country, speaks those three languages without mm-hmm. Polish, Lithuanian, and Russian letters. But and I was speaking it quite fluently without the practice and come in contact with those people that naturally lost most of it. I still speak a little Polish, and but Russian I practically lost all contact with that, and same as Lithuanian, because there weren't very many around here that could speak it. But at the same time, we got along pretty well, and that's about the situation as it is right to this period. When we first came here, there was a few Jewish people, naturally, who aren't here anymore. And there was a very small congregation. It was just made up of practically 10, 15 families.
Which congregation was that?
And it was the Hebrew Brotherhood. Well, at first they had a little shul way down in 5th and Catlin.
What was that shul called? Do you remember?
Well, I believe it would have been the same as this one was called, Hebrew Brotherhood Congregation, afterwards. But before, I wouldn't even know what started it and what the name was. But as the folks became more concerned about the children and so forth, well, they started building. Hello. Yeah. Well, I suppose, as long as you can't cross the bridge. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, that'll be all right. You can drop it off here, yeah.
So,
where were you now?
Yeah. The shul that the family...
So there are a few of the older church-going Jews decided that they were going to have a little shul, and they did erect a small one alongside of the present one that's there now on 6th and Hammond. Mm-hmm. 6th and Hammond. However, as the Jewish people became more or less Americanized, mm-hmm. they also saw the wisdom of not following the old traditions of the families that did not see eye to eye with those who were a little bit more educated and so forth. So they parted their ways, and they went over and built another one across the street from there.
What was that called?
That's the... it was the same thing, except that it was... broke away from the other one.
That was the Superior Synagogue?
Superior Hebrews, yeah. And then we were there for a good many years until this last, 10 years or so maybe, we built this new temple and
mm-hmm.
and Action and Hand 22nd there. So They renamed that, of course, at that time, I think it was, forget now what was the cause for it, but they did.
Well, tell me something. I'm very interested to know about the German Jews, and when I spoke with you the last time, we talked about that. Did they go to shul?
No. No.
Or did they go to Duluth, perhaps?
They went to Duluth.
Did they go to a synagogue in Duluth? Or?
Yeah, there was a Jewish congregation there, Reformed.
Uh-huh. All the German Jews went to a Reformed congregation?
Yeah, there was only three or four. There was Abraham's and the Nathan family, and the Bilsteins, and Felix Seligman, who was the head of the departments there.
How about Albert Abraham? Now, he was probably the earliest Jew to settle in Superior. Did you have any contact with him?
I mentioned Abraham's, yeah.
What business was he in?
Well, I don't really think he was in the other building. All the head was a pool room.
Oh, really? Well, that's a business.
Well, he has a business, but not what you'd call an outstanding business or any kind.
Did these German Jews have a lot of money? As you recall, more so than the Eastern European?
I think the Columbia people, the ones from the Columbia clothing store, were, in those days, I think, fairly well off. I don't know how much, but they were fairly well. They had a big store and doing a good business. Incidentally, when I was talking about the our temple, it was the Bethel,
mm-hmm.
So you know that without me repeating that. Now then, after that, I can't tell you much more than what, by asking questions, I could remind myself of a few things, but otherwise, it went along. There was some people, of course, naturally, there isn't a one that's here in town today that was there back in 1900 to about 1910 or so. There's not one of them that I could say has been here much. One that just passed away was here. The Pommishes were here. Mm-hmm. The Burgers, they moved in here later, so they weren't here at the time. There was Titiner. There was no Jewish family there.
What was their name?
Titiner, as far as I can recall their name now. But then there was a Schlossberg family, and I don't know. The girl should be back pretty soon, but she should be pretty quick. So
I don't even know who's straight or who's scared.
Yeah. Okay. It is 2:10, eh?
Yeah, and shut off.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
How many Jewish did you find when you first got to Superior that there were a lot of other Jewish people?
About a dozen families, I think, is all. There wasn't any more that I could recall now, and I don't think there were, because
there were more than a dozen families at the turn of the century.
At that time?
Yeah.
But
I don't know. Where did your family live?
We lived in
Oklahoma or Connersport?
Yeah, Oklahoma was first, and then we moved down on Fifth Street over at Jew's Bakery there. Finally, we bought a house and moved to 1105 Hammond from 713 Hewitt. We bought a house and we moved to 1105 Hammond. And then my mother passed away, and things were never the same since. They did remarry, and they moved into a little house on 11th Street.
Who did your father remarry?
Some Jewish lady from Chicago. From Chicago, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I guess she had relatives in Milwaukee, and naturally he wasn't going to go slumming or anything like that. He just looked for the older type of Jewish partner, companion, or whatever you might have wanted to call it. So, although she was more educated than Dad was, more Americanized. But That's about the extent of the knowledge, and now by asking me certain questions, I could possibly remind myself of things that have transpired in those years, but otherwise I don't really know of anything that would be much more interest to you than what you've already obtained from the rest of them.
Well, I'm going to ask you some questions.
Okay.
Sure. And you talked about the Jewish bakery. Tell me if you remember any funny story about the bakery. Is it busy on Fridays? Is there mechala?
Oh, yes. He was a Jewish, typical Jewish bakery.
Where were the people from?
I don't know. They were Russian Jews. So evidently they came from some other portion of Russia there that I never did find out. But they were good bakers, and they did pretty well, I guess. But then they passed away too, and then the boy took over, but he wasn't quite the baker that Dad mm-hmm. was. So he didn't stay long in the business there.
Was there ever another bakery which competed with them, or any other?
Not in Spurrier, no, in Duluth. They had a good bakery in Duluth. So after the old man passed away, well, then, of course, there wasn't very many people that cared about this young fellow's baking, so they...
What was the baker's name?
Andlovsky.
Andlovsky. Had they been there long when you got there?
Yes. Well, I don't think so. I think that he probably was working or had a baker or worked for the baker in Duluth or something. So when that came over on this side, I don't remember how they originated into Superior from where. I don't know, but I know he's been here for a good many years, and so naturally, until his death, he functioned pretty well. I don't think he ever got rich, and made, you know, in those days, he was making a living, I suppose. That's about the size of it.
Did you have good relations with your Gentile neighbors?
Yes, yes.
Did you, were you living in an area that was a number of immigrants?
You mean immigrants of foreign, other than Jews, you mean?
Yes.
Not necessarily, no. No, I've always associated with them. Can you shut that off? Well, maybe I did shut off.
You were just telling me about your neighbors.
Yes.
Well, in the immigrant section of town?
No. No, this is in the... It wasn't the... We didn't have no section that was, there was a congregation, a congregants of Jews that lived in the downtown. Well, we were, somehow or another, we wanted to move up a little bit further up. Mm-hmm. So we did move. And that, of course, is no particular region, although... especially that we went into business, we naturally were more closer with the Gentile neighbors and so forth. I've always been more or less that way in my limited way. I belonged to Toastmasters and I was active in various groups.
But how about before World War I, were you involved with your Gentile neighbors, or did you have Jewish friends?
Yeah, no, we were not unfriendly. We weren't involved. We weren't unfriendly, though. We had a good neighborly relations. Don't recall any time that we had any... no, I don't think so. Oh, forget it. should be in pretty soon anyway.
Okay. Now, you had a bar mitzvah in
yes,
Superior?
Yes, here in Superior.
Was it a big festive event, or...?
Well, with the means that we have, was at our disposal, well, I suppose it was, but not that they have today. They didn't get the fountain pens or or pins or coins and so forth. It was a menial celebration, but it was enough, I guess, for what we could afford at the time.
Who was your teacher?
Well, coming over here from Russia, of course, I was pretty well taught. I had a good Jewish education at home in Russia. So that at 12, when I came over here, I was, you might say, beyond what anybody could teach me here. Because at that time I had, the Gemara, I knew something about that, and I knew about the five books, you know, and so forth. So, all in all, of course, I've forgotten most of it now. But at the same time, I was a good student. My dad took an interest because we had five boys at the time, you know, and so we always had a tutor in our home in the whole country. And he retired by the season. And we took in one or two neighbors also that couldn't afford one, and they came to our place. And,
this is in Superior? Or?
No, no, this is the old country yet.
The old country. Yeah.
So here in Superior, my dad did teach a good many boys from families here gratis. But he done a good job for them, and they all...
What was your father's name?
Harry was his first name. Of course, you don't, that wouldn't be of interest. You couldn't have to spell it. But he was well educated. And
this is an interview with Edward Lorie by Lorie Tarlow, conducted on April 18th, 1977. Tape one, side two. All right. Now, there's something that I'm having a little trouble understanding. Explain to me about Oklahoma and Connors Point. They were two separate places, correct?
Yeah, there was only one family in Connors Point.
Who was that?
Selimovich. Family by the name of Selimovich.
How about the Caners? Were Caners?
Caners, they lived in, already on this side. They were all kind of in the north end, and I don't know, 4th Street, 5th Street, 6th Street.
That's Oklahoma.
No, no, that's downtown. In Oklahoma, at that time, there was only two or three families.
And who lived in Oklahoma?
Yeah. That was before, when the little shoe started, that was Oklahoma down there.
John Street?
Fifth and, no, John is later. That's where some of the Jewish guys lived there, but it wasn't, had nothing to do with the
How
shul.
About Solomon Caner? He lived at 211 John Avenue. Was there ever a shul there?
They had no shul there. No, he was there.
I think it might have been before.
He was one of the older families in the square, yes. It was a very charitable family. They were nice people. And they brought over a lot of their relatives here, and that's where a lot of the Caners and Crearons are all mixed up here. We were actually, you might say, loners, because all we had was the two brothers that were here from my mother's side. My father had no relatives whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
And often...
Why did the Edelsteins come here, those brothers? What was it?
Well, they apparently...
Did they live somewhere else first when they came to this country?
It's hard for me to remember that. I don't know. I don't hardly think so, except for the fact that maybe in the olden days, you know, if somebody knew of the Edelstein family and they were available, there was three nice boys there, somebody from Duluth might have sent for one of those and sent for the other and the third one, as you see, because in those days there was no such thing as a boy going out and meet a girl. They were recommended more or less in those days by someone else, and they were calling in Jewish Gerata Sinach. Do you know what that means?
Sure.
Yeah. So that was about the size of it. Otherwise, the only reason that I can explain, because I know that the uncle that passed away was also married to somebody in Duluth. Through no connections from our side at all.
Did you know these uncles in Vladimir? Did you know them in the old country, or?
No. No, they've been here quite a while already, and she was only about 12 when I got here, so I didn't know very much about them. Besides, we lived on a highway close to a little town called Vidasik and then Valkamir. That was the next large city, of course, which was in the state of Kovna, Gubernia, the state of Kovna. So as a result of that, we didn't get around, you know, the transportation. It wasn't as good in the old country in those days as well. Mm. Although my dad had a good business there, as good as the average. What he saw, that there wasn't very much of a future for a family of five, six boys and one girl. Couldn't see much of a success there. And the main thing was going to the service hour.
Mm.
You see, and if you could get away from that, well, then that was good. In those days, they didn't want to eat meals and so forth, you know what I mean? So naturally, if they could get away, that was their happiness.
How did you get from your home to Montreal?
My dad and the older brother Morris came first here,
mm-hmm.
which these other their uncles sent for them.
Mm-hmm.
Then, when they got here, my dad was a hard working man, and he went to the flower sheds and worked there hours, whatever, and a boat came in, and no matter what it was. 24 hours or 36 hours, he worked right straight through and made enough money to send for us from the old country, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And naturally, that was the result of it. Well, then...
You told me something when I spoke to you the last time about you went around with your father to pick rags?
Yes, well, not father, another man who couldn't speak very much English, and a fellow by name is Leslie.
Mm-hmm. What business was he from, Duluth or Superior?
No, Superior. These family turned out to be very nice. One is a professor in Philadelphia, and one of the sons and the daughter got a very good position in Los Angeles. They all done very well, but this Zelesnik, he was a hard worker too. He had a horse and a wagon, but he didn't have any conversation. He couldn't speak very well, and they saw in me something that I could get around. And
this is when you were how old?
I would have been about 13, 14 years old.
Uh-huh. And you were going to school the same time?
Well, no, my school days were practically ended, because I went to work for the Columbia Clothing Store after I left the second grade, you see. So at that time, I was already earning money.
Mm-hmm. Did your brothers all go to work, too?
Yes, he went to work, yeah.
Where did they work? You had an older brother. What was he doing?
The older brother, he had a horse and wagon. Had a dray line, what they call it, and a transfer company. Big operator, he had a horse and a wagon, all the furniture around from the people moving.
Is that the first thing he did in Superior, or did he do something else first?
About the first thing at that, I guess. I think that was it. With Dad having the knowledge of the value of horses and so forth, he bought himself a horse and a wagon, and he was operating from a big transfer company on the corner of 8th Street and Tower.
Mm.
Big transfer company. Horse and wagon. Then, after that, we were ambitious. We bought two horses and had a little team of ponies, small horses, and we had a contract with the government already. We were hauling their mail from the depots, from the trains to the post office. Mm. And that was, you might say, that was the start of entering into larger capacities, you see. We naturally kind of grew up a little bit already. And chance. So then, while I went to work at the Great Northern, and then already saw the possibilities, so I rented a little store. I'll never forget, my dad was more religious at the time than he later learned to be Americanized. And he gave me all kinds of help because I went out and I rented the store on Saturday.
You just rented it. Of course, yeah. You're going to keep it open on Saturday, too.
Well, he didn't like that idea at all. But anyway, we stuck together for a good many years until after he lost mother and then he remarried. And she was trying to run the show, and that didn't work out so good either. And anyway, that's the extent of our business here in Superior.
What? Did you belong to any Jewish organizations as a youth?
Well, no, just a B'nai B'rith.
You had the B'nai B'rith?
Oh, yes, yeah.
So that, when you were young, was there a B'nai B'rith?
No, well, it may have been, but I think it was some other organization.
B'rith Abraham?
Yeah, well, that's B'nai B'rith, too. That's been changed to B'nai B'rith. It was B'nai B'rith Abraham to start with, I guess. That, of course, was started later by a group of actors in the East. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it grew as a Jewish organization. Really one of the oldest clubs in America today. Casey, you know, older than that, or some of the others. But other than that, I don't know of anything really interesting.
Did your grandparents ever come here?
My grandparents came here just about a year after let's see.
Your grandparents were
Edelstein.
David Edelstein.
David Edelstein, yeah.
And what was your grandmother's name?
Grandmother's name?
Mm-hmm. Did she come too? She was,
yes,
a Berkowitz.
Yeah, she was, originally she was a Berkowitz, yeah, uh-huh. Sure. Chaya, I think it was. Ida may have called her, but Chaya. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Now, one of your aunts married married a cousin, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
She married Harry Berkowitz. Okay. Did other members of your family come a little later after you?
A year later after my.
Yeah, your grandparents came.
They came a year later after we did.
Uh huh. And all your aunts and uncles eventually came, but they didn't all settle in Superior.
Aunts and uncles.
On your mother's
here,
side.
The uncles were here before.
How about your aunts?
Except the aunts. Well, they came with the family. Then they came with the Mr. and Mrs.
Edelstein,
the old fellers. There was another Bachelz, what they call him, B.H. Edelstein. He was married, of course, and he had a large family, and they. Well, they came to Duluth, but they moved up on a range and then hidden for a good many years there. All passed away from there. In fact, their bodies are here in Superior. Because they had no cemetery at that time. And, they haven't got one yet in Hibbing.
Now, why did he move to Hibbing? What was the motivation?
Well, there was opportunities there for him, apparently. He saw there wasn't anything in Duluth for him that he could see. And
did he ever live in Superior?
No, not until the latter years when he was retired. At that time, the reason why he went to the Hibbing is because their mines were just opening up over there, and he was considered either in business or in working for others. He would have thought he could succeed there better than he did in Duluth, so.
Where was his wife from?
He came also from Europe. I don't.
And he was married abroad.
Oh yeah, she was married in her own country. Yeah.
Now your uncles that came to Superior that preceded
you.
Yeah. About what year did they come? Did you?
Well, I would say it might have been in about 1875. No, sir. Would it be? in 75, possibly, 76, somewhere in there, I would say, because we came here. No, wait a minute. We came here in 1900, maybe.
They've been here 5 or 10 years?
18, at least 5 or so. Well, he was only a year previous to us. So he came here in 1900.
Who was that?
My father.
Your father came in 1900?
Yeah, about 1900.
And his brother-in-laws were here?
Were here before. So yeah. They would have been possibly in 1895 or somewhere in there.
That makes sense. But I just wonder maybe if they had lived perhaps in Minneapolis or St. Paul first.
No. They came directly here. Coming here. It may be that the Caners and the Cairns were all congregating in Duluth Superior. Mm-hmm. And because of that, they figured that they wouldn't be so all alone going to a town, at least where they knew, because originally these people and these families all came from the same territory. Mm-hmm. Where they lived in the old country.
Okay.
And that primarily was the main reason for it.
I wonder what motivated the Caners to come here. Were there advertisements of job opportunities?
No, those people didn't look for jobs. They didn't know from beans. They knew that they were going to come here and they'd have to make a living by peddling rags and rubbers and scrap and one thing another. Mm. And that's where they got started, and that's where a lot of them made money, too. We kind of got away from it. The only one that had a little something to do with rags and rubbers was me. I went with this fellow in Zalesnik, and I was the speech maker for him.
Uh-huh. Well, what happened to Zalesnik?
Well, he passed away.
What kind of business did he?
Just in a... later, he went into the, when he couldn't peddle this, he went into the cattle business. And the butcher, I don't know whether he butchered or not, but he bought and sold cattle.
Was there a lot of this cattle business among Jews?
Oh, here in Speer, yes. Most of them lived in the downtown area there. They were all pretty much
the same. Exactly.
The Goldbergs and the Zalesniks and the... And the Caners, some of the Caners were in the same line of business. If it wasn't the rags, it was butcher, it was cattle business.
Mm-hmm. Well, why was there so much cattle business? Because of the farm
country?
Well,
what else could they do? They went around by the farmhouses, and if that fellow from the farmer had wanted to get rid of a cow or a heifer or a bull, they thought they could make a buck, they were pretty good judges of weights and so forth, and they gave them so much per hundred or some of the, so they took their chances, I suppose, because I don't think any of them, they weren't operating this from a real scientific viewpoint. They didn't weigh them in or anything. Mm-hmm. They just went to the barn, how much you want for this cow or for this bull, and that's the way they did business years ago.
And who'd they sell them to? They went from?
They brought them in, and Shechut.
These were only used, the cattle that they bought and sold was for Jewish slaughter.
A lot of it, not all, but a lot of it. The Shechut would take it, and then they would sell the kosher meat, and the Zodik, the hind end, they would sell to the Gentiles, the butcher shops, so forth. So there was mainly their business for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
Those people that lived in the downtown area, they had nothing else to. We got away from it for some reason, I don't know why. Well, of course, we were more or less, Dad was a blacksmith at home and knew how to fix things and so forth, that we naturally thrived with that. And so it was a case of where necessity was the mother of invention.
Mm-hmm.
We just decided we were going to make a living, that's all.
Did you make friends quickly here? Do you remember arriving in Superior and your impressions, or if somebody met you at the train, did your uncles meet you?
Yes, that's true. That's true. I'll tell you how. What impressed me most, we got in here on the morning of the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad was blowing up balloons, and he sent my older brother and me out there to sell them.
Already?
Already, on the same day.
The same day?
And all I could say was 10 cents. So balloons for 10 cents. And then I learned what the 10 dime looked like, or what the quarter looked like. And believe it or not, there was a parade there. I went out and sold balloons and took in a few dollars. I don't know how much, but I was a commercial type fellow.
Where'd you get the balloons? Your uncle?
Oh, the uncles bought them for Dad, and they blew them, pumped them up with my bicycle pump.
Uh-huh. That was very interesting.
That's how we started.
That's a good way to start.
I need water over the dam.
Okay. Can I just go back to a little bit about these German Jews? Did any of them live anywhere in Superior, the German Jews?
I think Mr. Nathan did. But as a matter of fact,
did
yes.
Did that family? That
Mr. Nathan and his wife lived, but I think they lived in a Hotel Superior.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they lived in a Hotel Superior.
Where'd they go? They moved away, I see.
Yes, well, time took its toll, you know. They passed away.
Oh, but they lived here?
They lived here and uh-huh. at the hotel. Uh-huh. Mostly, you know.
How old a man was Mr. Nathan?
Oh, I would judge he must have been in the 60s or so.
Oh, when you got there. Here, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was elderly.
And where was he born?
I don't know. I've forgotten.
How about Mr. Abraham?
Well, he was also in that age in the group.
I just thought...
He passed away. His sons were here for a while, and they were in the billiard hall, pool game and so forth, but that's about all.
How about, I'm going to ask you, do you know the Solly and Mayer? Was that a Jewish firm? Does that sound familiar to you? Mayer? Or Marx and Zimmerman? Cigar people? People in the cigar business?
No.
It might have been before your time.
It might be, because I don't remember any of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a cigar maker by the name Marx.
And what about?
Marx, he made a cigar, called it Marx Cigar. And another one, but I...
Mr. Seligman.
Seligman?
Yeah, what business was he in?
He was the manager of the Columbia Clothing Store.
Okay, and Nathan and Bilstein also were in that business.
Yeah, sure.
So they all stuck together.
Yeah.
But there was also some other German Jews here.
The other Abraham family.
The other Abraham. Mm-hmm. How about, let me ask you about a few other names. Abraham, how about Abram's family? The Abrams family? Were they German Jews, or...?
Yes.
What? Okay. And Helsteins? Were there Helsteins?
Helsteins were Russian Jews. They were,
They were religious, weren't they? They were involved
yes.
in the synagogue?
Yeah, yes.
How about Mr. Wolfan? Do you remember?
Wolfan? Yes, I remember.
Yeah, now which synagogue was he a member of?
He was a member of our congregation, yes.
Was he a member of the other one also, perhaps?
I don't know, but he was a member of course, Wolfan died. We had much long before the time we built our new temple up the street there. He died many, many years ago. In fact, when there was only the one synagogue on 6th and Hammond, where now there is... the assemblers have taken over practically the whole block there now. There was a Schlossberg family.
They were very involved with the synagogue, right?
Yeah, they were related to us.
They were related to you?
No, they were in our group of the with the
That's the
church.
More modern,
yeah.
The Superior Synagogue.
Yeah, there's one fellow. I think it's the same one. I haven't checked it out. I often wanted to do that. There's Young's Schlossberg or Baselin. There was a Baselin family here, and this young Baselin, while the kids were playing, they were putting in a streetcar on the 6th Street where the synagogue is, and they left the one of these workers four-wheel trucks there, and all the kids were jumping up and playing with the Ostrich Lake. Mm. And right now he's an associate judge of the Supreme, not of the Supreme Court, but of the
District
Court of Appeals or something like that in
Chicago.
Washington.
Oh, Washington.
Oh, yeah. Been there for years. Very, very capable fellow from what I understand, too. I often wanted to learn something more about him, but I kept putting it off. I said, if I ever go to Washington, I'm certainly going to look him up. And there was another boy that grew up here in Superior, that the Cher family. And Cher, young Cher, in fact, that Cher girl could probably give enlightenment on a lot of things.
Where does she live?
She works. She's been working for the. I think she lives about 2100 block in Ogden Avenue, and she has been working for the Social Security office for possibly 15, 20 years. Having to be an elderly girl and never married, and she's was apparently a very nice, respectable girl. Holding down her job, and she could tell you quite a lot about the Cher family, and there's a lot of them. But I, other than that, I think I've given you everything that I can remember.
Okay, well, that's just terrific. Well, thank you very much. Mm-hmm.